broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Brusten Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. There's one thing for certain this week. My name is Ben Brust and I'm with you. Now I'm abandoned. No Kyle Wallace. No Brad Northman. I guess he's got a better excuse than them all. Had a child. Alex Stroh apparently had something very important today, so he's not around. So Chris Larson's running the show. And alongside me is former producer of Wilde and Tausch, now executive producer of the Finalysis show, Tony Cartagena, TC.
Bro, we have not hosted one-on-one in like 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I'm so excited for today's show.
Believe it or not, I'm only sitting in this chair because Tony illegally got me on the air without getting cleared.
We can talk about that. Yeah, this goes back to ESPN Madison when we first started Wilde and Tausch. We're talking 2016, 2017.
Well, people know you did this, right? Because I didn't do anything wrong. You did something
wrong.
This is
all 100% on me. I actually, behind the scenes, take credit for most of Ben's meteoric rise here at ESPN Wisconsin and Good Karma Brands. So Ben, one time, was a guest on Wilde and Tausch. We were talking like some Badger basketball or something.
And Greg Scalzo was hosting. He was in. Yep. Wilde and Tausch were both out. This was when it was 9 to 11. And Greg Scalzo was doing an 11 to noon show in Madison only.
Yep, Madison only is Greg and I on that show too. And we brought Ben in. And I don't remember the subject matter. We were talking Badger hoops, but it just went off the rails, which oddly enough was the name of.
I think you guys started asking me about some, like, which Badger players would utilize Tinder well.
That was a great question. Yep.
I was like, I got nothing to lose. I'm just going to be me.
Ben was living in Illinois. He had just got back, I think, a year or so from Lithuania, and you were. Instantly, I knew there was something there.
Like, okay, well, I haven't done anything, so calm down with these compliments.
Shut up. In terms of entertainment, I was like, Ben, there's some here. And then...
Little did you know that I peed in bottles, didn't know trivia questions.
All content, homie, yeah. All content. So, and then we ended up just without clearance from our higher-ups, continuously putting Ben on the air with us. That turned into an opportunity in Madison. Ben moved up, does a show with Greg, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, this was
R.I.P. like a... R.I.P. Scalzo and Brust, but R.I.P. to KBN and KBN Nation, because it's just B.
See, here's the deal. Kyle and Brad and Stroh, y'all messed up. Stroh, maybe not so much, because he's got to produce the show. Kyle and Brad, what's it, Wally Pipped?
Yeah. Oh, is that what you're coming for today?
I mean, those guys, come on.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more, as we are going to get you ready for... I mean this. There's a lot in this brain. There's a lot to talk about. You got
a lot in this brain.
Packers, Browns on Sunday. Believe it or not, like Badgers, Maryland is huge. Like it's huge from a they're favored by 10, and that's telling me somebody in I don't know how anybody in the world could be like, yes, I am going to put money yes. on the Wisconsin Badgers to win by more than 10 points.
You watch that team
win.
Against Middle Tennessee State for 3 quarters, and you think I should put my hard-earned cash
that's the thing.
On them to win by 10, 11?
So we got the Badgers as well. And again, I want Luke Fickell and this team to cover that spread and give hope into the
100%.
Big Ten season. But the evidence through 2 years and through two games against Miami, Ohio, and Middle Tennessee State, although wins, does it make you feel confident about the identity and the direction, but they can still prove me wrong, which I'd love for them to. And the Milwaukee Brewers' magic number is shrinking. It is 4 to win the NL Central, and a huge victory, as I mentioned yesterday, because they own the tiebreaker with the Phillies. They are now 3 games up on the Phillies for the number one seed so everybody can enjoy American Family Field much longer.
I don't know if you were watching at this particular time last night, but they were, I think, up one, runners on, fifth or sixth inning. Yelich comes to the plate. And before he even gets in the batter's box, you could hear the Yelly chants. And it brought me back to 2018. And it's just like, I love, obviously love the Milwaukee Brewers. We all do on this show. But love rooting for Christian Yelich to succeed. And when he hit, it was a couple pitches in, he hits his 100th RBI of the year. The crack of that bat, with him, it's just different. Everything Yelich does, it's just different for Brewers fans. I loved that moment last night. Small moment in a game that, like, down the road probably has zero impact. But that small, I loved it. Loved hearing that.
Tony's rocking the Euchre hat, so you can check out the, it's sick. Where'd you get that?
The Brewers Pro Shop.
Well, you want to get that as soon. You're going to want to get that as soon as you see it, because you can go to YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison to view the show and listen to us there.
I'm not like Kyle and Strofe, who have pro shops sending them free gear. Some of us actually have to go out and get
our
stuff.
Let's slow down here. You produce the Thanalysis show with Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Don't ask further questions.
Yeah, I think you are a fraud right now.
No, 90%.
I've seen you every day in an Antetokounmpo
You don't know if I paid for that or not.
Yeah, your voice just told the whole entire story. Now, you've listened throughout the entire week to a lot of our content across ESPN Wisconsin. Most recently, there was a discussion based off Rashid Walker, because Rashid Walker had said that he believes that they could go undefeated. And I actually didn't mind the audio. There was a poll that we might get to in poll position later on where people were, like, not okay with it on, I think, Jen Gabe and Chewy's poll, 63%. And I'm like, when you listen to it, and Chris, if you don't mind finding that again, and let me know when you have it, because I do want to make that a jumping off point here. Yesterday was a prime example in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills were 12-point favorites, 12.5-point favorites against the Buffalo Bills. That was a close game against what everyone thought was going to be the game in which the Bills would steamroll the Dolphins. And Mike McDaniel, there's a Mike McDonald.
McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel was going to be fired because of this game. Every game presents a new challenge and opportunity, but I do want to listen to Rashid Walker and what he had said about this team.
And the goal is to, you know, keep it going. I think we can go undefeated, honestly. I mean, personally, I feel like I always tell people, I feel like we could have went undefeated the past two seasons. Like, we lost a lot of the games off a couple plays, but I feel like our offense has been playing so good and so disciplined, and our defense has been playing even better, and special teams have been playing great. And I feel like, you know, it's all about who comes out hottest at the beginning of the game and at the half. So, and I feel like we've been doing a good job of that. You know, pound for pound, I look at these teams and I don't really see who's better than us.
It's just confidence, in my opinion. It's confidence.
He hit on exactly why NFL games will never be easy, even if you're, 12.5-point favorites like last night.
Correct.
Because he said, you know, we were so close at a couple plays. The difference between being the Browns and being the Packers right now, legitimately, a couple plays. The way that a football game pans, like, look at last night's game. Not that I'm going to break down Bills Dolphins, but if there's not a roughing the kicker call, possibly a completely different outcome last night.
Yeah, no, I hear your overall point. And my thing is I still believe that the matchup and Joe Flacco being quarterback, despite potentially not having Tucker Kraft and not having Jaden Reed, I'm not going into this game worried. The expectation should be that they win because Joe Flacco is the quarterback and they can't move the football, and you have a defense that should be able to create turnovers, which they really haven't done so far this year.
I do like to admit on radio when I'm wrong about the difference between the Packers and the Browns this year. That analogy was terrible because the Packers haven't really been a couple plays away. They've dominated teams.
Correct.
The Browns have been probably a couple plays away from maybe being 1-1, whatever it is. I'm just saying the difference in NFL teams and outcomes of games is usually single-digit number of plays, and that can flip the script to go from a 7-point win to a 10-point loss real quickly, but... Yeah, the Packers have crushed teams this year.
So Ben Bruss, Tony Cartagena here with you. You've also heard a lot of this. They're going to be 8-0 before they play the Eagles.
Yeah.
And Rashid Walker saying 17-0. Like, I caution, but I'm saying I caution while I'm predicting no matter what happens on Sunday, I believe the Packers will be on top.
No matter what happens Sunday, the Packers will be on top. However,
what?
This 8-0, 17-0, pump the brakes. That kind of talk, to me, is asinine.
Why?
Simple as this. The 2011 Green Bay Packers.
You could have said nobody's really done it other than the New England Patriots and Dolphins.
I just say, do you know
Patriots did it and then didn't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Dolphins did it 50 years before any of us were alive.
But I like that you're bringing it to a Packers team?
Yeah, I'm bringing it to a Packers team. All right, so the Patriots got to the Super Bowl. They have Randy Moss and Tom Brady. Jordan Love, I love you. You're not Tom Brady yet, right? The 2011 Packers, to me,
who's
the
Randy
year
Moss?
After all combined.
Not even.
Yeah. The year after they won the Super Bowl, that offense, that defense, that team, they steamrolled everyone. They were, to me, the greatest Packers team I have ever watched. They would have beat the 96 team. They would have beat so – they were so good. Aaron Rodgers woke up every Sunday, Monday, or Thursday that year and put up 40. And his weapons were loaded. That team didn't go undefeated, and that team got beat in their first playoff game that year. This Packers team, they've been great. They have looked awesome. You're not that team. Not that team yet. It just looks different. NFL football is hard. And
the defense looks the part. The defense looks as elite as any unit in the NFL, and I think long-term they will be.
Bro, that team still had Charles Woodson and Clay Matthews on it. Like,
I'm saying comparable from a, like, what you need to be that good.
That's fair.
Has, like, shown that they can do this, in my opinion, over a sustained season. The offense, the criticism is Matt LaFleur in the second half, like, wants to establish the run.
Yeah, it's just
isn't, as everyone's saying, going for the jugular, but he kind of is, but he kind of isn't.
Before the wheels fell off, Rodgers and McCarthy used to run it up on teams. I remember it would just be, all right, it's 38-14 at this point. Rodgers... Those years post-Super Bowl, basically between the Super Bowl and between the downfall in Seattle that year, they used to just torch teams. And I hope this offense gets there and this team gets there, and then if they do go 8-0, all right, let's look at the schedule and we can talk about this. But, like, let's just take it a game at a time.
Well, I mean...
That's my whole thing with Packer fans everywhere. Chill out a little bit.
It would be amazing to have this conversation after this week, mm-hmm. if they were all healthy, like right,
also
right now,
very true.
You make a really good point, because when you think about it, their weapons were ridiculous, and the Packers were without their top two weapons, one for at least 8 weeks, one for, I think we could all safely can assume, based off what I'm reading from Rob Domofsky, Tucker Kraft like had a sleeve on his knee, and he was around, but it doesn't look like he's going to play, and if they're smart, he shouldn't play this week. He shouldn't play next week. He should utilize the bye. And if it was just a scare, he's too valuable to risk.
Mm-hmm. I think that's totally fair. I just look at this team as, like, they are great and they're playing really great football right now. And you don't want to rain on anyone's parade. Like, all right, maybe don't get it. But, like, I've been listening to, basically, Benny, what it comes down to, I've listened to too much Alex Stroh and Kyle Wallace this week, who are ready to book the tickets to Santa Clara. They're ready to print the 17-0 t-shirts. The greatest football team the Packers have probably ever had didn't get it done. That regular season team didn't go undefeated. They didn't win a Super Bowl. You're going to take your lumps along the course of an NFL season. It's good for a team to take your lumps a little bit. If they play the Eagles and they lose that game, all right, what do we see on tape? So we're probably going to play them again, right? Like, going undefeated means absolutely nothing.
Playing well at the right time does
matter. And just playing well overall, in learning what you're not good at. Right now, the Packers haven't really shown many things outside of special teams that they're not good at, but the whole 17-0, let's go, green and gold glasses. Like, bro, chill. It's week two. Chill. We saw last night the Bills could have gone. They were tied in the fourth quarter. We've seen upsets all year. The Colts are 2-0, bro. Like, let's just chill a little bit.
I think this team, is it fair to expect 14 wins?
I think that's fair. Yeah,
okay.
Throw things like that out there.
I just want to see where you're not going to get all cranky about conversation.
I'm not even cranky about it. People can feel all they want to feel. I just think it's one of those, like, if this team doesn't have the 17-0, 16-1 season, I'm cool with it. I think they're a really, really good team. I just think that at some point, we have seen teams, to my eye, that are significantly better not get it done. And stumble.
It's a really good
point. Stumble into the postseason.
There's a lot of season left.
It is week two. Season left.
But I want to focus on week three now. And I would love for KBN Nation to be the experts here. Knowing that Jaden Reed is out, knowing that it's likely going to be a game without Tucker Kraft, your two pass catchers that led you in receiving yards last year, what's your game plan? Like, how are the Packers going to score against the Browns? The Browns have the best rush defense through 2 weeks, although I think that might be a flawed sample size based off the two games that they played. They still have only given up 45 rush yards per game. Derrick Henry, 11 rushes for 22 yards last week when they played.
That's a weird stat line because that
Ravens.
Doesn't happen.
It doesn't. So when you look at that type of caliber running back, is it going to be a Josh Jacobs game? Is he going to be able to buck the trend of this Cleveland Browns run defense? Is it going to be in the arms of Jordan Love? Do you going to need him to make plays with Myles Garrett coming at him without Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft? Like, I want to know from KBN Nation, 800-990-3776, because I ain't worried about the defense. How is this offense going to score points against the Browns? What is your game plan? 800-990-3776. It's Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. You got Ben Bruston, producer of The Analysis Show. Tony Cartagena in with you till 5 o'clock. More next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Ortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. But then you got to put your back into it.
How do you see the Packers scoring points against the Browns defense without Jaden Reed and Tucker Kraft? Give us your game plan at 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. We're also on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. No Kyle Wallace, no Brad Nortman, no Alex Stroff, but you got Ben Brust alongside Tony Cartagena, the producer of The Analysis Show with Thanasis Antetokounmpo and Chris Larson running the show.
I love this segment, this topic, where we are asking essentially the fans on the Carbless Talking Text Line to be that expert, because this is the type of stuff where, like, when you describe it to me, like, we got a comment on YouTube from DVJ, and he says, or they say, I could see Musgrave and Wicks maybe having really good games. I don't see Green Bay switching up their game plan. To me, I get that mental image of a Musgrave touchdown coming up on Sunday, and that's what gets me excited for game day. Like that kind of stuff, I love that.
I love that you're loving that. I would just temper expectations on Musgrave.
Start Luke Musgrave in all of your fantasy teams.
Yeah, don't
daily
don't do
fantasy
that.
Musgrave.
I just
cover five Musgrave.
Whether it's been injuries or like when he has been on the field, he's never been like the consistent 5-6 catch, 4 catch guy. He's like a 1-2 catch guy.
I wish I could remember the game it was 2 years ago. Probably must have been his rookie year. Where he finally stayed on his feet.
Yeah, Musgrave stayed on his feet. Yeah. I think it might have been against the Cowboys in the wild card.
Possibly
game.
Could have been, but
it was towards the end of the season. It was when they were on their ridiculous run in 2023.
Musgrave is the guy who is going to get in the open field and get tackled at the one, and it'll end up being a Josh Jacobs touchdown. But it is a Musgrave got him there kind of deal.
I like that prediction.
Yep. Here's my prediction, my very early in the show prediction. Musgrave is going to have a drive where it's like the Musgrave drive. He gets him there to the one.
Josh Jacobs
and Josh
continues
Jacobs
his streak of
off.
Having, would it be?
I think it'll be 10.
No, 11 or 12.
Oh, it's that high? Oh, no, it was, yeah. It'll be 11 because it was 9, I think, to start the year.
I think it might be 12, so I don't even want to say it until I know.
But that
Greg in the 608 chimes in. He says that if you look at the Ravens game, which I've talked about a lot, the way the Ravens were able to score points was, again, I was focusing on the offense, but I got to give Greg credit. He's focusing on the offense with what the defense has the ability to do against Joe Flacco is turnovers that make a short field is a way to win this game on the road. He also chimes back in with this is the golden breakout game.
Ooh.
Look, Rob Domofsky wrote a piece on ESPN.com. You should be excited. I mean, Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur know he's been getting open.
Yeah,
100%. He just hasn't. And honestly, he was open when He was missed on two deep throws against the Commanders.
They've dialed him up.
It's there. It's ripe for the taking for Matthew Golden. The biggest question mark is the Packers have done a really good job protecting Jordan Love through the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Miles Garrett is a different animal.
Yeah, and that's no offense to the offensive line that we even like bring that up. The offensive line, Rashid Walker, those guys, they've done a really good job, especially with the injuries there to Banks and to everyone else. Miles Garrett is an all-time great at that position. It's just simply put, he is all-time great. He wrecks a game. He's the we were all excited when the Packers traded for Micah Parsons, but we're not that far removed from Miles Garrett requesting a trade, and us at ESPN Milwaukee having social graphics of Garrett in a Packers uniform or saying, like, what would you trade for Miles Garrett in Green Bay? Because he is that Micah Parsons type of player. I think it depended on who you asked. If you said who's better, one person will tell you Micah, one person will tell you Miles Garrett, but they're that similar and that crazy good to completely change a game plan. I don't care if your team is 0-2 or historically a really bad football team. Miles Garrett can wreck a game in a heartbeat.
Yeah, well, we saw what Micah Parsons has done for this defense. He can do the same for the Browns. But overall, I think, obviously, the team is much better holistically.
For sure.
800-990-3776. Chef Ed says, I think a even mix of run and pass with quick hitters and passes in the flat. Yards after catch are going to be huge. You're cooking with Chef Ed. Dave from Aaron chimes in. The way the Packers win is plain and simple. It's a lot of quick passes and runs up the middle. Going to be a hard-nosed, old-school football game. It has to be mistake-free.
I like that. Mistake-free. Don't throw interceptions, but also talking about those, you know, those runs up the middle. When you think of some Packers football, you go back to like the Favre Driver days. You catch those passes in the middle of the field. If that's where Matthew Golden starts, and he catches those passes in the middle of the field and turns up field for those yards after catch that they're predicting, that's fun football too. You can get down with some of that. That's really good, fun, and one of those plays that you kind of just like remember.
You be the expert. What way are the Packers going to have success finding points on offense against the Browns? 800-990-3776. I truly believe that Josh Jacobs will be a major, major focus. And I think what has been something that we haven't seen too much this year from Josh Jacobs, and it's kind of a good thing because we've seen Tucker Kraft go for 124 mm-hmm. yards. Jordan Love spread the ball around in the first game to 10 different receivers on a 16 completions.
It was wild.
It just has been one of those, it's two games in. But the way that they were utilizing Josh Jacobs in 2024 at the end of the season kind of feels like you're going to have to use him now. And it's not just rushing. It's receiving. Did you know that Josh Jacobs only has one reception?
Through two games. This season?
One reception for 4 yards.
Was it last year where it was his first ever receiving touchdown?
Let me go back for reference here. No, just to tell you, when I think about Josh Jacobs and what he's able to do in the receiving end here, there was a stretch where he had 3, 5, 2, 4, 0, 4, 0, 4, 4. So, like, he is very involved in both.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of these opening drives, too. I think Josh Jacobs is going to get a lot of those dump downs. Like, just get him in space.
He might catch the ball.
You see the rush defense statistics. They give up 45 yards a game. I think it's a little flawed based off the game flow against the Ravens and Derrick Henry only giving 11 rushes. But it's still going to be tough. Like they're a good defensive line. They're weak on the back end. You got to get Josh Jacobs out in space. You got to utilize him as much as possible.
The NFL should change that, by the way, for Josh Jacobs specifically, right? You catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage, rushing yards. Because that's essentially how they're going to use him. It's just he's just getting the ball in a different spot. But I completely agree. They get him the ball outside the tackle box, and he's able to make one guy miss and turn up field for 7, 8, 9 yards at a time. Josh Jacobs will eat. It'll be a good game for him.
Yeah. So I'm going boring, but you got to go boring sometimes when you think about like when you lose Kraft and Reed. And you don't have Christian Watson. Those were three guys that led you in receiving yards last year. You got to stick to something that will open up and make Ben. The game easier for the Wixes and the Dobbs and the Goldens to have opportunities. Because if you go out there and you're like, we're going to throw the ball, I think they'll take their chances knowing that, like, again, none of them have ever been the first and second options out there consistently throughout an entire game, other than maybe Romeo Dobbs, but he's always been more of that security blanket.
Ben, I say this because I love you. We both cheer for Badger basketball. I saw your team score 40 points in a game and win.
That was there my junior year.
There is nothing.
Oh, that was my senior year, actually.
40?
Yeah. We
not beat you, the team. 40.
We beat Virginia, who had three pros.
Joe Harris was on that team.
Joe Harris, Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Anderson. Yep. Sam Decker, and Frank Kaminsky. Five NBA players on the floor. 48-38 on the road in Virginia.
That's what I'm saying. I have seen you score 40 points as a team in a game and win. We've rooted for Bo Rock. There is nothing boring about winning. If the Packers have to run the clock in this one and the final score ends up being closer to that line than we think, you know, it's that 7.5 and this ball game ends up being, let's just call it 21-14, just something very simple of a football game, great. The Packers won. A very depleted offensive line, a very depleted weaponry, let's just say, with the tight end and wide receivers, and you still get the win. Boring is okay. And yes, as we heard this week, national radio will say, well, the Packers should be winning games 40-6 instead of 24-6. Who cares?
No, you shouldn't. I love
win
that.
It
you shouldn't
and
care.
Get it out. Win the game, get out healthy. Win the game, get out healthy. That's
I completely
all that matters.
Agree. I think it doesn't. This is one of those games where you shouldn't be looking for style points. If it happens, take it. Absolutely take it.
Oh,
yeah. If it's a game where you beat the crap out of them because they're just that bad and your defense is turning them over and like they're just like kind of giving up because they're like, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco's out there and they just lose confidence that like, all right, how are we going to continue to play hard on defense when we get a stop and then the ball comes back to our team and then we're sitting on the sidelines and we're watching Joe Flacco dink and dunk over the middle for 3-4 yards pass.
Yeah, or it's Packers go on a long drive, 6 yards at a time. Joe Flacco gets out there after his nap and goes 3 and out, and that defense gas has to go back out there again after being on the field for 6 minutes. Like, there are ways to win this football game, and honestly, that's probably how I see them winning this when we're talking about, like, strategy, is a lower scoring-ish, but just longer sustained drives by the Packers, those chunk yardage at a time. But there's nothing wrong with winning a ball game when you're beat up and you're going on the road. No matter who you're playing, on the road is hard. Just get out of there with the win. I don't care if it's 7.5 or 12.5. Just get out there with a win and come out healthy. Boring as it is, that's fine.
AJ in Baltimore chimes in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. I'm so high on Golden this week. I'm predicting a Christian Watson rookie year. 3-touchdown type game.
Oh, do you Rush remember defenses. That?
Yeah.
Do you remember how sweet that game was?
Yeah, I think he had an end around as well. Like he was doing it every different way.
He balled out that game.
Greg is echoing you. He's like, I'll take a 9-6 win, TC.
Oh, let's go.
It's just some field goals.
Ben, I'll give you $1 right now. You tell me who the Browns kicker is. I think they got a different one from the guy who missed in week one.
No, he's still the guy.
He's still the guy?
But he's injured. I just saw that he's injured, legitimately.
I was just going to say, it's the McManus versus the, oh, I don't know who the Browns kicker is show.
Maybe it's 9-0 then, so I'm sure they'll grab a kicker, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Wheel of Strofe, a.k.a. Wheel of Chris, on the other side. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman with no Nortman, no Kyle, no Strofe, Ben Bruston, Tony Cardahaney here. Let us know how you see this game flow happening. Let us know how you see the Packers scoring points against this Browns defense, 800-990-3776. Carbless Talk and Text Line. And we'll be back with the Wheel of Strofe Chris.
Wheel of Strofe
Chris. Hope you're enjoying this wonderful Friday. I think it's nice out. Again, I don't get outside much, but forecasts look good. Milwaukee, at least. Madison, no idea. Hopefully it's nice for you, too. Ben Bruss, no Kyle Wallace, no Brad Nortman. Tony Cartagena in for them, the producer of the Analysis Show with T.A.
If you're watching on YouTube, you saw Ben literally stop going, Ben Bruss, Kyle! You put that thing in reverse real quick. You didn't say it.
I didn't say it. But I've said it 1,000 times. So over 1,000 times. So it's easily just ingrained in the brain. Chris Larson's running the show. And speaking of which, no Alex Strofe either. So I'm Kyle Bruston-Ortman here. It's time for the Wheel of Strofe Chris.
It's time for the Wheel of Strofe.
All right, guys, let's kick off the Wheel of Strofe slash Chris here with a big spin on the big wheel.
I love that. It actually is a wheel.
I just love the sound of the wheel.
It's so good.
And it lands on yellow, which is for coaching carousel. Could this be Jeff Hafley's final season in Green Bay? We're just 2 weeks into the Packers season. Defensive coordinator already a name to keep a close eye on ahead of the next coaching cycle. According to ESPN insider Jeremy Fowler, Fox 6 sports director Tim Van Voren was asked during his appearance on the Homer Hour on Wednesday. You can hear that show weeknights 5 to 6 across ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Beaver Dam. And TVV believes that Hafley's second season will be his final season in Titletown.
If I'm a Packer fan or I like watching defense schemes, watch him this year, because I firmly believe Jeff Hafley will be a head coach elsewhere next year, as long as this projection continues.
Whoa.
And then,
Do you guys agree with him? Do you think this is going to be Hafley's final season?
I don't think Homer agrees with him.
Homer didn't think so. No,
it doesn't sound like Homer agrees. Ben, I'm going to jump on this one first, and I hope all the other NFL teams out there are listening. Jeff Hafley is super awkward. He interviews terribly. He's bad behind the scenes. What else can we say about Jeff Hafley that isn't true, but I want other teams to think it? He dresses unprofessionally. He doesn't shower. He just lives at the facility. Stop trying to poach our defensive coordinator.
I know that people are worried about this, and I get it, because it's been an interesting journey getting to this point of having a confident defense.
Yeah.
But Micah Parsons is on this defense. Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, like, if Jeff Hafley gets a head coaching job, this becomes the most coveted defensive coordinator position opening where you're going to get the best candidates so that they can do, like,
it's, you might get a head coach who's like, actually.
Yeah, sometimes you do. And it's like anything, right? Like, you always hear about a coaching tree. If Matt LaFleur has a coaching tree, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
That means he has a sustained system where he can develop coaches. They go on and be successful, and that attracts the best talent to your organization. So, I love what Jeff Hafley's doing. Hold on, Kyle.
I love Jeff Hafley.
But if he goes, it's not the end all be all.
If he goes with a ring,
he will attract more talent than ever before, based off the pieces in this defense and what he showed you can do with it.
Here, I was just trying to trash his, put out a bad word on Jeff Hafley, but that makes a ton of sense. It'll be the most coveted coordinator position in football, probably.
Yes.
And if he goes because he got us a ring, great. Thank you for your service.
Oh, you're telling me I can apply to the Green Bay Packers to be the defensive coordinator? And they have Micah Parsons? Yeah, sign me up.
Honestly, though, would you rather be the defensive coordinator to Micah Parsons and the Packers or the head coach to Tyler So and the New Orleans Saints?
Exactly.
Do you know what? Just pay him more. Honestly, if he's
that
good.
They're paying Rich Bisaccia too damn much.
Yeah, take Richie B's money, send it over to Jeff, and call it a day. There's your game plan. You want to know how you keep him in Green Bay? You pay the man.
Wheel of Strofe.
Another big spin here. Where are we landing on here? We are landing on blue, which is for expansion. Starting with the 2026 season, the Big Ten men's basketball tournament will now include all 18 teams, expanding from the previous 15-team format, which excluded the bottom three teams from the regular season standings. The tournament will also begin one day earlier to accommodate the three additional teams. However, the Big Ten women's basketball tournament will continue to be 15 teams. Do you agree having all 18 teams in? Should it be back down to 15? Should it be less? Should there be no tournament at all whatsoever?
I could care less that they expanded it, because the three teams that are in are just delaying the inevitable.
If Chris didn't mention it, would you have known it before next year's tournament?
No, I would have known. I just, to me, I'm like, Wait, so now the bottom three teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, congrats Northwestern, Penn State, and Rutgers.
So, whoever it is, I'd be pissed if I was a player. I'd be like, damn, I was already on my way to spring break, and now I just got to go to wherever the Big Ten tournament is.
Indianapolis?
Just to lose? Like, I mean, that's going to be starting on, what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is the Big Ten tournament going to be Tuesday through Sunday?
Yeah, because it started Wednesday earlier now with the expansion to 15 teams. Now it's going to be Tuesday probably.
So if you're a top four seed, are you getting three byes? Friday? You don't play till Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Pretty much, yep.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Look, it's college athletics. If there's a way to make a dollar, they're going to make that dollar.
I don't know how
dollar.
Much money they can be making off the three
it
worst teams.
It might actually be a dollar, but... Hey, do you know what? They got to put some on BTN at noon.
Yeah.
There it is. Cool.
Will you be watching that, Chris?
Chris will.
Cool.
Oh, you know what?
Chris will be dialed in.
Tuesday through Sunday now? Nice.
Wheel of Stroke!
Chris.
And we are landing on green, which is for NFL trade deadline. We're only 2 weeks into the season and still more than 6 weeks away from the November 4th trade deadline. But ESPN's already come out with their potential trade candidates for the upcoming deadline. One of the names on the list is Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With Jalen Reed and Christian Watson eventually coming back, Bo Melton already moving to cornerback just to make the team. The receiver room is going to be jam-packed. Doubs already rumored this past offseason to be on the move in the final year of his contract. Packers may be looking to recoup some of that draft capital they lost in the Micah Parsons deal. Could you see them making a move? Doubs exiting Titletown, somebody else from the receiver room hitting the bricks as well, maybe?
Okay.
I'm going to let you start here because this is interesting.
It is. It's something that is not unexpected. It's just crazy that we're 2 weeks in and we already have articles about the deadline and targets. I don't know. I do know. I'm saying I don't know about trading. I really don't.
I wouldn't do it.
We're going back to if you're trading him, you're overvaluing draft picks.
Overvaluing draft picks for sure.
If you're good, I mean, let's be honest. Romeo Doubs has made big plays these first 2 weeks.
Security blanket's the wrong term.
I agree.
But he is like.
He's Steady Eddie.
He's James Jones. Let's just be honest. He's that guy. When you need him, when Jordan Love needs him, he is there. He might have one game where he has two catches for 16 yards, and both of them are on 3rd and 8. Like, honestly, that's how I feel about Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, I just Jordan think he's too Love valuable, goes valuable. To him. If you think your team can win a Super Bowl,
you don't mess that up.
Don't change what you've already started to show as a general manager that, like, you're being aggressive.
And it's a league, if we're being honest, like, it's a passing league, right? Like, you don't trade a wide receiver if your team is in true, true contention at that point.
Chris,
and
could they
also
get a compensatory pick if they don't trade him and they just let him go?
That I don't know.
If he leaves as a free agent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, they would probably get one. I'm assuming. Did someone much smarter than us hit us up and let us know? But
that's even more reason why I'm like...
Well, that was going to be my response. Was going to be like, if he leaves, if he walks, they're going to get something for him. So, like, just let it be. What do we think, Chris?
Yeah, it says they're expected to receive a compensatory draft pick, potentially a 4th or 5th round selection in the 2027 NFL draft if Doubs signs with another team as a free agent after his rookie contract expires.
4th, 5th round, that's where Goody thrives, man.
Yeah, again, but like, what would they trade for? A 3rd at best?
At best.
And so, if anything, if you're going to make a trade, it should be for a player, in my opinion, if there's a swap that makes sense.
All right, sure. If like the Vikings, you know, just want to get rid of Justin Jefferson, sure, then do it.
I was
but
thinking more
of that,
cornerback depth, but I don't think it happens. Because I just, like, this is the new Goody. I'm believing in new Goody, not moving on from things that he has that are working.
I've talked really bad about Goody. I've turned the corner on that, and I'll believe in new Goody as well. I'm on your team there.
All right, that's it for the Wheel of Strofe / Chris. Tucker Kraft, I got an update from Rob Domofsky here. It's important to note. The news happened from Ian Rappaport and Rob Domofsky yesterday at around 3 o'clock-ish. So it's been like 24 hours. And I'm not going to lie, the initial reports were weirdly worded because he was still getting evaluated. And it's some said long term, some said not season ending, but that still makes you jump ahead. He might not even go on IR now, so let's update Tucker Kraft. And then Tony did something that he stumbled into. It is the funniest thing that I've ever seen in my life. ChatGPT has... I can't say it.
We're going to talk about it.
Tucker Kraft, then ChatGPT on the Badgers next. LaFleur spoke to the media post-practice today. Got some updates coming for you. Ben Bruss alongside Tony Cartagena, who's in for Kyle Wallace and Brad Nortman. Chris Larson's in for Alex Strope.
I replaced two people.
Yeah. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talking Text Line. And of course, get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Pre-practice, here's what Matt LaFleur had to say about Tucker Kraft.
Let me guess.
We'll try again.
Or Matt LaFleur could rap, too. I'm down for that.
Let me guess. Who wants to ask it first?
What happened to Tucker yesterday?
He was practicing and got hurt.
Will he practice today?
That I don't believe so. So it's unfortunate. It is what it is. I don't think it'll be long term. So that's a positive, but... He will not be out there today. I couldn't tell you. Well, I mean, we'll get him just like we do with all these guys. We'll give him up to game time. But he's got more than anything. That's a positive, but he will not be out there today.
Play Sunday or no?
I couldn't tell you. Well, I mean, we'll get him just like
that's
we do with all these guys.
Good enough, Matt LaFleur, Chris.
Tucker's not practicing.
Yeah. Rob Domofsky tweeted Tucker Kraft was doing rehab work off to the side during the stretch portion of practice. He was wearing a sleeve on the right leg, seemed to be moving well. So you take it for what you want to take it.
We'll see.
Yes. That's perfect.
So when the news broke yesterday, I believe it was Brian D, our director of content, sent it out in a text message to the team here, but the way it was like shown on the phone, it cut off before the bottom line of like it's not expected to be season ending, and all I saw right away was Tucker Kraft's had a knee injury in practice, and I went right back to David Bakhtiari, which is where I think a lot of Packer fans probably went, where it's like a knee injury in practice of all places. And since then, it's gone from double ACL, MCL replacement surgery to...
A scare.
A bruise. Like,
yeah, we'll see.
To quote the Parent Trap.
Oh, where are you going with this one?
You gave me a fright? Tucker Kraft gave us all a fright.
If you are a millennial, you will 100% get that reference. Where'd you are? Right, so you and
because it's looking like, as Adam Schefter tweeted, it's looking like it was just a scare, is mm-hmm. what he had said on Twitter. And me thought you gave me a fright,
but didn't when you first read it and it came across, yeah. And it was like not likely to be season ending. Well, so I'm already thinking like, all right, they're getting
I
back
saw
to the
knee.
Playoffs.
So you see knee, and then you see season ending, and yep. then you have to look closer to make sure that you're not actually. Losing your mind.
Reading
thinking,
things is too hard these days. You have to. Your
is
eyes,
he okay or is he not okay?
Yeah, your eyes go to the big words. It's knee, season ending. Then you got to check, make sure it's real. Then you got to read the words in between the words. Those are super important.
Like it should have been, it is not NOT all caps.
Yes.
It is not season ending. And
that's
I'm
how it should have started.
And I'm going to do Borat. This suit is not black. He lets you know the suit wasn't black. It's not. Black. This is not season ending.
Stop burying the lead on social media. So that tweet, let's fix it for him. It is not, all caps, season ending. However...
It is likely not,
yes.
Which is okay. Just say not.
Yep. Right away.
So
however, Tucker Kraft
is being evaluated.
Yeah, something more chill than sounding the alarm.
Yes. All of them were very sketchy in how they were written, which caused for concern, and now it was just a scare.
I feel so much better right now than I did this time yesterday regarding Tucker Kraft's knee.
24 hours later, it is night and day from Alex Strofe sitting across from me yesterday.
Oh, did he
panicking
freak out
about all the injuries? Like, well, Nate Hobbs been hurt, and now Jaden Reed, we have Christian Watson, and Zach Tom, and Aaron Banks, and like, he's like, ah!
Leave it up to a poorly structured tweet to get Strofe spiraling.
It was a spiral.
He spiraled.
Went down the injury. He was like, he basically read me the injury list like in report like I've never seen it before. Like, cool. I know.
We know these guys are hurt.
And what was a bad timing by early in the season, because you're like, all right, you got a Thursday night football on a long stretch before you play the next Sunday game. Turns out that's when the most injuries happen, and a bye week will come at a good time for Tucker Kraft and this team. In 2 minutes here on Kyle Brust and Dortmund, Tony Cartagena, producer of the analysis show, is in for Brad and Kyle, ran into something amazing on ChatGPT.
The AI is taking over.
I also just saw ESPN Madison posted me talking about the Badgers and me saying, like, if they don't win this game on Saturday, how am I supposed to have any confidence they can do anything moving forward?
You won't.
Let me just say, ChatGPT disagrees with me. Hear from the AI robot in 2 minutes.